Welcome, everyone, to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Thursday, August 12th, 2021. And hopefully your day is off to a good start so far. I know here for me, I had to drop the little pup off. He's at a little doggy daycare, getting some grooming going on. We've had some issues trying to get him groomed here over the last couple times we've tried it. He's not exactly a fan of it. So hopefully today, everything is going to go good and we're going to be able to get that taken care of. So that's kind of why this episode's coming out a little bit later in the morning. If you're usually catching these episodes bright and early, I'm sorry for a little bit of the delay today. But that is why we had to get him there nice and early today. Well, hey, a little bit of housekeeping here as always. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Turcotte, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. You can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. And I got to tell you, man, I am still continuing to play Splitgate, guys. Like this game, I've actually lost my Pokemon Unite login streak because any moment that I have to play any video games, it has been dedicated to Splitgate. I actually got to play with patron Sir Dagobah yesterday, who we haven't heard him on the patron podcast in a while. Hopefully we'll get him on here soon. Him and I played a couple matches yesterday. He happened to be on it. He said he'd heard me talking about it on the show. And of course, had a great time. I've completed the battle pass that they have in the game, which is free. It's only 15 levels. But yeah, I've pretty much done everything, but just keep going back to it, just having so much fun. The cool thing I didn't know they did either is they're kind of putting these rotating game types. So right now they have a game mode where it's the railgun, which kind of has this big charge on it. They've basically taken away the charge. It's you versus five other people, so a six-player match, and just using these railguns. And these things, I mean, they have a kick, and just the way the sound they put into it and the way the controller kicks when you're firing that thing off, it's just awesome. And so you're able to just like wreck people through the map and get yourself kind of shot from all different angles. It's a lot of fun. I'm starting to feel out the portals a little bit more. I definitely recommend it. Splitgate, guys, I'm done. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I know you're probably tired of me talking about Splitgate. But I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Another game that I'm really looking forward to playing tomorrow for the first time, which is kind of surprising that I never jumped on this game early on, is Hades. Hades is hitting Xbox Game Pass tomorrow. I think it's available now on the consoles. It was originally on just PC and Switch, I believe. Now, of course, it's on everything. I mean, you can get it on Xbox and PlayStation, but it's hitting Game Pass tomorrow. Yeah, I never jumped in. And the crazy thing is, like, Supergiant Games, I actually have a little bit of a history with them. Chris and I, way back years ago, did our old podcast, the A-Vault podcast, had Greg Kasavin on to talk about Bastion before Bastion launched. Had him actually on the show a couple times. Even at E3, had a nice little appointment with him, sat down, talked all about Bastion, met some of the voice actors, the guy who composed all the music, all that. And so ever since then, I've kind of had just this fondness for Supergiant Games and all the games they put out. I mean, obviously, Bastion to me still is kind of the pinnacle. I mean, the soundtrack for that game is just incredible. And of course, Transistor was fantastic. I never actually played Pyre. Pyre was a game kind of because it had that PvP aspect. I just never jumped into it. But Hades, when they announced it way back in the Game Awards, when was that? Like 2018 or whatever? You can get early access on the PC. I remember like looking at it and wanting to get in, but for whatever reason, I didn't. And then, of course, it launched on the Switch. And I mean, last year, it was, for many people, their game of the year. I mean, this is the type of game. How it passed me by is like mind-boggling. Like, this is my type of game. But I'm super excited. I mean, part of me was set to buy it about a month or two ago, but then once we learned it was coming to Game Pass, I was like, well, I'll hold off and, you know, just be able to play it there. And I can't wait to check that out tomorrow. I mean, all I hear is great things. I mean, even the guys in the Discord are always talking about it. And I've even, believe it or not, I've even listened to some of the soundtrack on Spotify because just, again, the music that Supergiant puts in their games is just incredible. I mean, Darren Korb is his name, the guy that puts it all together. He just always does an amazing job. And even Hades, having not played the game, just listening to the soundtrack on Spotify, it just has that air of, you could tell it's definitely something special. So I'm looking forward to playing that. So if you've played Hades, let me know. Hit me up. Email me, theenthuselife@gmail.com, or hit me on Twitter. I'd love to know your thoughts on Hades and any tips you have for me as I kind of go headlong into that. I think that's going to be the game that's going to finally pull me away from Splitgate, I think, is going to be kind of jumping into Hades and getting that just, you know, one more run feel. Because again, it's kind of like a run-based roguelite style game, and I have a feeling it's going to completely take me over. I'm really looking forward to checking that out. Now, I've also, over the last couple of days, been catching up on, it's been about the last week or so, catching up on The Amazing Spider-Man comic book. I've heard nothing but good things with Nick Spencer and kind of where he took the series. So I think I picked up an issue like 32, 33, somewhere around there. Whatever issue it was that Spidey and Jonah kind of sit down for a podcast together, which, yes, Peter Parker, Amazing Spider-Man, sits down to do a podcast with J. Jonah Jameson. Like, go figure that. But I'm almost caught up. I think I'm just at the start of issue 63 right now on Marvel Unlimited, and I'm going to try to catch up even on the print versions here over the next day or so. But man, there's a story arc in here. It essentially kicks off with Sins Rising is the arc. And then it kind of continues even to where we are now. I mean, even though the Sins Rising story is done, everything that happens there kind of carries through. And Nick Spencer has done an incredible job with this book of going back into the history of Spider-Man and pulling things like from Gwen Stacy's death to just some randomness where it's like callbacks to issue 59 or issue 73 or whatever, just pulling in all these things, getting into the history of Spider-Man and all the choices and everything that he's done. They introduce this character that he kind of has to face throughout. Number one, the Sin Eater, who is a returning villain, again, going back to the history of Spider-Man. But he's actually working for another villain called Kindred, who is a new villain to Spider-Man, but not necessarily. And I don't want to spoil who it is, but I will just say that, you know, there's a lot of twists and turns to this book up to this point, to the point where, I mean, it's a page turner, even though I'm not turning pages, I'm tapping my digital screen on my Kindle. I can't stop reading it. Like, it really has encapsulated just incredible writing in Spider-Man. Like, I'm totally in on this story right now. And, you know, I have a feeling it's kind of getting somewhat to the culmination. But the issue I just read, there's a moment of Peter and Mary Jane, because Mary Jane kind of comes back into his life, because he kind of realizes like he's someone that he's always needed in his life. He's always kind of needed someone to fight for, even though he's always kind of fighting villains and always fighting for the innocent, right? I mean, in the end, if you want to say that, or those who are affected, he needs somebody else. And sure, Aunt May is always there, but it's always been Mary Jane now, ever since Gwen's gone, right? But every choice he makes, I don't want to say that it's a selfish choice, but it really kind of is making him question things. And there's a moment, like I said, where Mary Jane kind of comes back into his life and brings him to kind of this like abandoned theater and has him, you know, says, hey, have you ever talked to a therapist, you know, gone through moments. And he gets on stage and there's like these 4 or 5 pages of Peter just on stage with he literally has a spotlight on him in the comics, kind of, I'm not going to say confessing sins, because he's not. I mean, he's not confessing really anything, but he's just letting it all out. And, you know, you forget that when all this started for Peter, he was just a kid, right? He was just a kid that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, right? And was he ever really ready for that responsibility? And he seems to, through all these books of Spider-Man, taken on that responsibility, and he's been able to roll with it, if you want to say. But it's built up. And, you know, no matter what good he does, a lot of times there's still tragedy. You know, there's still death. You know, even though he stops the Green Goblin, someone always dies. And, you know, to live a life like that and to be an adult and to constantly have to, you know, think you're doing the right thing, but ultimately it's always still leading to someone's death. You know, it's to that point now where he's kind of having to question some of those choices. And I think that Nick Spencer's really nailed it with that. Like, you know, you can't help but feel for Peter through this book. And, you know, I'm kind of interested to see where it's going to go. I'm kind of getting close to catching up now to where it is. But it's awesome. And, I mean, the cool thing is they bring in kind of the cast characters from the Spider-Verse. I mean, you got Ghost Spider Gwen Stacy. You got Miles Morales. You have Jessica Drew as Spider-Woman. Madame Web is in there. I mean, even Silk is in there. Like, they're kind of playing parts of this. And some of the issues at one point are kind of, there's like an issue, you know, 52, but then there's an issue 52.1 that then is the Spider-Verse characters. And I recommend folks read it. You know, if you haven't really kept up with Spider-Man, you could probably start around issue 40 or so, maybe 39, 38, somewhere around there. If you have Marvel Unlimited, check it out. You know, or if you have any interest in Spider-Man, You know, I've really been enjoying kind of that story right now, and it's kind of where it's going. It's pretty awesome. Switching gears away from comics, let's talk about some Star Wars news, and that is we got word that the Ahsoka series, supposedly according to some insiders, is looking to cast their Sabine Wren. That's right, Sabine, of course, from Rebels fame, and, you know, not to spoil the end of Rebels too much, but let's just say that Ahsoka and Sabine find themselves together at the very end of Rebels, and so it would make sense to see an older Sabine kind of in this, which then would beg the question, are we going to then potentially even get a potential live casting for Ezra, which had been rumored for years? I would love it. I think it would be great. You know, I think Sabine obviously is a character that would make sense to be with Ahsoka, because if we don't have any references to Sabine or even see her at all, then clearly they're doing the Ahsoka series wrong, because that is so essentially the time frame. This is post-Rebels. We need to know what happened to Sabine. I mean, you even have, you know, the Dark Blade in Mandalorian. We've seen Sabine pick that blade up herself. So that, would, of course, would make sense to have her coming into the fold of the live-action Star Wars world. You know, and it even brings up that question of, you know, we had that recent quote from, I forget the guy's name, but he was the guy that, you know, was kind of head of What If, of how we've seen these cartoon characters, Ahsoka, now potentially Sabine, make the jump from animated to live action. Here we are yesterday. We had our first episode of What If. We meet Captain Carter. Could we see Captain Carter then become a part of this live action? Like, you know, after watching What If yesterday, it really has me kind of wondering, like, is this animated series going to be creating all these kind of alternate new versions of some of these characters, and then they're all going to make a jump to live action, and then you can, of course, recast them all because it's all new characters, right? Kind of brought to our universe. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but it's kind of exciting that that's a potential of what they could do. But hopefully we'll get some word as to who that Sabine Wren is soon. And, you know, I don't even know. I don't even want to speculate as who they should cast. I don't know who my dream casting of that would be. I didn't even give it a second thought yet, other than just make it happen. Bring Sabine, bring all those characters. I mean, Rebels is just an awesome story. Sure, you kind of have your one-off episodes like you do with The Bad Batch, but overall that story is just awesome. And I think more people being able to experience those characters is definitely a positive, and is just, you know, branching into that, it's just expanding the Star Wars lore. So I'm all for it. One final thing, we did get a trailer for The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf. This is the Netflix Witcher anime series coming soon, actually, August 23rd. It's going to be a film, so this isn't actually a series. But man, it looks awesome. This is going to focus on the origin story of Geralt's mentor and Witcher, Vasemir. So you're going to get to see him. I mean, the trailer shows all kinds of just action from, you know, battling with swords and axes to just the classic Witcher magic being used. Lots of monsters in the trailer. Of course, he is a Witcher himself, Vasemir, so he is hunting down monsters. I mean, that's the whole idea of the Witcher. They're tasked with hunting monsters. And yeah, definitely looking forward to checking this out on August 23rd. So go check that trailer out. It's actually not too far away, right? August 23rd, very close. You know, I was even thinking, like, Shang-Chi is coming out soon, too. You know, we're going to have a new Marvel movie here very soon. What, September 3rd, I think that is? Sort of less than a month away from that, another entry into the MCU. And that begs the question, where is our No Way Home trailer? I know everybody's going crazy. Every day it almost seems like I log into Twitter and No Way Home is trending, and it's people just complaining about where's the trailer. Some people getting concerned it's going to be pushed, it's going to be delayed. I don't think it's going to be delayed. I think there's just things that they would potentially show in that trailer they don't want us to see yet. And there had been some rumors that there were some reshoots happening, or as of just even up to like last week. So who knows? Maybe they're just waiting, getting things kind of set in stone. I don't think they can afford to delay it. But, you know, we just need that trailer. Just give us something. Give us a tease. There's got to be something soon. I mean, we've gone through Spider-Man Day. It was Peter Parker's birthday like 2 days ago. How have we not had that trailer yet? Where is it, Marvel? Give it to us. I even think it was rumored by the end of this week. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But all right, guys, that's going to do it for me here today. You know, as always, hit me up on Twitter at Marturk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. You can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. And don't forget, tomorrow we will be breaking down the final episode of season one, the finale of Star Wars, The Bad Batch. I cannot wait to see where this is going to go. What's the fate of The Bad Batch after last week on Kamino? We'll have to see that tomorrow. So until then, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you next time.